Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show.
Irish Catholics demand big changes in church, according to a report sent to Rome. And I'm just looking at the headline of this. In a survey of tens of thousands of Catholics across Ireland's 26 dioceses have found a demand for fresh models of responsibility and leadership in the church. It found that the most want to see celibacy made as an option for priests. In other words, basically abolishing the fact that it must be, you know, obligatory, that they must be celibate. The whole idea, by the way, is a human being demanding that somebody, you know, never have intercourse for the whole of their lives is quite bizarre, really. I mean, it's quite controlling, isn't it? And it always was quite controlling. And by the way, that was nothing ever to do with the Bible. That was a man-made thing. The Catholic Church brought that in themselves in and around the 12th century, from what I believe. And the whole idea of that was to stop priests from having children with women so there would be no inheritance of any assets that the church might have. So that was the reason that was brought in. It was nothing to do with God. It was nothing to do with Jesus. It was nothing to do with the Bible. It was nothing to do with the fact that Mary was a virgin. It was nothing to do with any of that. It was a man-made thing brought in by the Catholic Church for greed. But anyway, they want to see celibacy made optional for priests. So if they choose to be celibate, that's fine. That's their wish, okay? They also, the ordination of women priests, changes in attitudes within the church to things like divorce, which the church were adamant against and still to this day still are, by the way, because you are divorced, you cannot get married again in the Catholic Church. Single parents, the attitude towards single parents, according to the Catholic Church, they're habitual sinners until the time they actually get married, because you're not meant to be a single parent, according to the Catholic Church. And we see the problems that caused with the mother and baby homes many, many years ago. Thankfully, attitudes have changed a good bit since then, but still, it needs to change a bit more. And also, and most prominent, I suppose, in this, is the Catholic Church's attitude towards members of the LGBTQ community. And, in other words, you're not going to see a transgender priest, are you? Or a gay priest in Ireland. Well, not going to be ordained if they're openly gay at the moment. But maybe the attitudes need to change towards that as well and be more accepting in relation to that. So, in other words, a complete change in how they view Catholicism. Now, it follows a national pre-synodal assembly in Athlone in June, with the national synthesis report has now been sent to the Vatican for consideration. And former President Mary McAleese describes the document sent to Rome as explosive, life-altering and church-altering. The report is hoping to modernise Ireland's Catholic Church and reflect the diversity and inclusivity of a modern Ireland. And it remains to be seen, of course, if the Vatican will actually approve the changes. I have a funny feeling they won't. And restructure the religion around the changes. So what they're saying is, the world has changed, but the Catholic Church hasn't. The Catholic Church's argument is, we can't change. It's in the book. It's 2,000 years old. We can't play change the rules. That's the rules. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what they're going to probably say. We can't be accepting of homosexuality and lesbianism and all that other thing because it says it in the Bible. It's not right. Man shall not lie with mankind or whatever it says in the Bible. We can't accept transgenderism because it says it in the Bible. Well, somewhere I believe it says it in the Bible. We can't accept women priests because we just can't. And as for the celibacy thing, well, yeah, Pope, whatever his face, said it, you know, a long, long time ago. And we can't, I don't know who the Pope was in the 13th century, but we can't change that either. It's all in the rules. But Ireland is demanding they change the rules. Otherwise, of course, they're losing followers. Now, you may get the Catholic Church desperate to get more followers because, as we know, church attendances are not great. So I want to hear your thoughts today on the proposed changes. And the question I'm going to ask you is because although 85% of people in Ireland claim to be Catholic according to the census, only something like 40% of people claim to practice their religion or believe in God. So, in other words, people are just Catholic by name and not by nature. So do you think this would bring you back to the church? If the Catholic Church, for example, allowed divorcees to get married, accepted that single parents were part of a family unit in society, accepted LGBT people into their flock, so to speak, and allowed, say, same-sex marriages in churches, do you think that they would encourage people back to the church again? Would that actually work for you as a non-practicing Catholic? Would it bring you back into the fold? Or maybe you're a Catholic and you're thinking to say, no way, no, that's not the Catholic Church that I remember. Oh, I won't be doing that. There's no way they'll be accepting that kind of stuff under my watch. That's not what Catholics do. We're against all that stuff. So, as a Catholic, are you against the change? And as a non-Catholic, will it bring you back to the church? Will it encourage you, you know, to follow your belief again? Let me know what you think. I suppose it is to revamp the numbers. Do you basically think a revamp is enough to bring back the numbers? Or maybe you are someone who has left the church and think, you know, this might encourage you to return to religion or even raise your children in Catholicism once it's more accepting and non-judgmental. Let me know your thoughts. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Paul. Paul, you're an Ireland's classic kid. Yeah. Paul, how are you? Go ahead.
Great. Thank you very, very much.
Paul, so in relation to the Catholic Church, do you believe it would be a good idea for them to modernise?
I think it's going to be essential because I walk in the church and it's essential that they have to be done.
Yep.
And I know it's not everybody's cup of tea that, you know, the changes are going to have to happen, but the Catholic Church, I think they're saying that now, that you have to change.
And what do you do with it? Well, you play the organ in the church, isn't it?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'd probably lose my job after talking to you now.
Why would you lose your job after talking to me?
Just because they won't be happy if they know it's me.
Right, okay. And they won't be happy that you believe that the church should be more accepting of different...
I that's what I have believed for a long, long time. Things have to change.
And wait, I mean, how long have you worked in the church?
Well, I've been a Catholic all my life, and since I moved up to where I live, I can't say where I live.
No, don't say where you live, but how long have you worked in a church?
38 years.
And over that 38 years, have you seen the decline in the amount of followers and parishioners?
Yes. I used to have a choir of about 22 people. Now I have about six. If I have three, yeah.
Okay.
I have three.
And then what about the people themselves? Yeah. This is obviously for Sunday Masses and things like that. So
yeah.
On a Sunday Mass where you would have had, back in the 70s, you probably would have had three, four Masses on a Sunday morning.
There used to be at least two in my church.
And there's one now?
There's one, that's it, yeah.
And what would be the attendance of that one? Would it be full?
It'd be quite full, yeah. It holds about 200 people.
And okay, it's a small enough church, yeah.
People, that's just great, that's what it was. But
and what would be the age group of the attendance of the church?
Age group is staying quite a lot, elderly.
Elderly. So it's all older people, very few young people.
Yeah, there's a few young people coming in now, but very, very, very few.
And why do you think that is, Paul? Is it because they're not reflecting the views of young people? Is that what it is?
It's an awful lot to do with it. That's the Catholic Church is very staunch about, you know, what they believe and have to stick with that. And it has to change. The simple reason is that there'll be nobody in the church to go Sunday Mass, you know, and things like that. You know?
Yeah, well, of course, when all those older people sadly pass away, there'll be nobody left.
There has to be a lot of changes.
Hmm. And when you say changes, do you accept, for example, that the church should have a different outlook or view now, since we've had divorce in this country a long time, say, for example, and the Catholic Church fought that tooth and nail in the Constitution going back to 1996, do you believe that the Catholic Church should allow divorced people to get married again in a church once they've been divorced?
To get married again?
Mm.
Yeah, because in any relationship, you can walk away and then obviously you realise what you're missing with that person. That's only just taking something outside Catholic Church. Into perspective here, you're talking about it.
Yeah. So in other words, should the Catholic Church be more accepting, say, of same-sex marriages if two men want to get married in a Catholic Church?
That's the way it should be.
Because you believe that reflects society.
That's the way society is. But the church is back in the back age, you know. Only men and the women have to keep the secondary place and everything like that. And there's an awful lot of women in the churches, that are doing a hell of a lot of work.
And they have for many years, in the background, yeah. But they haven't been priests yet.
No, but what's wrong with it?
There's nothing wrong with it. There was a good reason, well, at the time, why they wouldn't let women become priests and why the priests had to be celibate was because they didn't want women to inherit or people to inherit any of the assets of the church due to a marriage breakup. So that was brought in back in the 12th or
13th
century.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And I think a couple of popes have died for this because somebody wanted to sell everything and give it in. Because you know the Catholic Church is a huge...
Of course, most wealthy organisation in the world. Well, one of them.
And
next to Tesla.
They've lost their lives because of them. They wanted to sell everything and just avoid everything and help the people. I'm asking you just a question now. If Jesus Christ was back here, you know, would you not think he'd want to be sharing the wealth of the Catholic?
Well, I would imagine he would. He's quite a generous man by the sounds of things.
Well, if everything is, and he sounds to me, listen to the gospel, he's very generous, you know.
I think if he was to come back. You know, if there was a person called Jesus, and some people don't believe and some people do, but if the person that we're told about came back, I think he would be horrified at the way they judge people.
Yes, and so what? Jesus was all giving.
Yeah, well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Maureen as well. Maureen, you're an Ireland's classic. It's Aidan, Maureen.
Hi, now, how are you?
Okay, so this Mary McAleese, who's no stranger, by the way, to having a go at the Catholic Church, she's obviously involved this. Well, when I say she's made comments saying this is explosive, life altering, and church altering. And this was research across 26 dioceses, and they put it all together. They've sent it over to the Vatican, and they're looking for change. Do you think it's a good idea?
No, I don't.
Okay, and why do you not think it's a good idea?
I think, you see, the Catholic Church is expected to change with all this so-called modernism that's going on out here. The deposit of faith can never, ever be changed. And if you don't want to be a member of the church, there's nobody asking you to be a member of it. And if you are a Catholic and you want all these changes, well then, there are rules. Like there are rules in every club, Niall. If you don't want to obey them,
but the rules change, don't they?
No.
Well, most organisations, I'll give you something simple, a simple analogy. Golf clubs over the last 50 years, if you go back 50 years ago, you'd never be a woman, you wouldn't even be allowed into a golf club. Most golf clubs now accept men and women. So, things change. You know, I mean, we modernise, we evolve as human beings.
But that doesn't mean to say the Catholic Church does the same. I think what should be done with the Catholic Church is, first of all, if we had a Pope in the Vatican who would clear the Church of heretics and child molesters and paedophiles out of it and return it to the Mass of the Ages, which I attend, you'd see a different Catholic Church. And you would see a lot more people flocking to the church.
When you say the Mass of the Ages, you attend it. Which one?
That's the Latin Mass. It's called the Mass of the Ages.
If you go back to the
proper reverence understanding.
Okay, when I started going to church first as a child, it would have been Latin masses. They had it was in my primary school. They stopped the Latin masses, and the bishop at the time when I made my communion, or the bishop of Dublin, who would have been the Archbishop of Ireland. What was his name? Cardinal.
Oh God!
His name eludes me for a second. Anyway, he was a monster. So. When you say the bishops and the cardinals and the priests at the time, there were priests, I'm not saying all of them, by the way, by any stretch of the imagination, there was a very small amount, but a lot of them ignored what was going on. In your time, there was priests doing things. The only thing was we didn't know about it. We know about it now.
No, we didn't know about it, but there are a lot of other people out there doing the same thing.
But I can tell you now, there's a lot less of them doing it now because so many have been caught. So it's not happening as much now, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is wanting the church to change, and I hear that they're wanting women priests and all the rest of it, and saying that women don't have a role in the church. Yes, they do.
Could they not be priests? A woman not be a priest?
No.
Why?
Never.
Why not? Why not?
Jesus Christ picked 12 men. He picked 12 to sit with him at the Last Supper. He consecrated.
Wasn't there a suggestion?
He didn't invite women.
There was a suggestion Mary Magdalene was there.
She wasn't there.
Well, I'm just saying.
He consecrated 12 men, his apostles. They were picked. They were the first priests. There can never be a woman priest.
Okay, but,
and if there is, she's a heretic.
But other organisations, say, for example, you go back 80 years ago, they were all men in the army. Women made the bullets and worked in the factories. And
we're
going to
talk about that now.
Okay, but no, but I'm just saying now women are in the army. So what I'm saying to you is things change. Life goes on. Women have fought for rights for it to be equal. So if women are equal, do you not consider yourself equal in society, Maureen, as a man?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you have the same opportunities?
As a human being.
Well, then why don't you have the same opportunities under God then?
I do have the same opportunities under God, except when it comes to my church and the laws of the church and the teaching of Jesus Christ when he was on earth.
But you couldn't...
I obey those laws.
Okay, but with respect, the Bible is 2,000 years old and it reflected a time in history. And like every other holy book, like the Quran, like every other holy book, we must interpret it at the time that we're reading it. We don't go by it literally, because if we did, we'd live in a very strange world. So we interpret, you know, based on the times we live in. And as Paul rightly said a few minutes ago, Maureen, now I'm not a believer in God or Jesus Christ, and that's just my thing. That's my choice. I have no disrespect for anybody who does. But in saying that, if Jesus, the man that spoke about in the Bible, who seemed to be a very generous and kind and giving man, was to come back today, do you think he'd be happy at the way the organisation that he put together treats people and judges people for who they are and what they are?
But you see, who said they're judging people? Remember Jesus? Yes, Jesus was kind and loving and all the rest of it. But he also used a whip in the temple.
Well, that was because
the money changers.
Well, that was
if
because
Jesus came back today.
That was because they were disrespecting his church, and I understand
they're
that.
They're still disrespecting his church the way they're carrying on.
There's a difference between doing business. That'd be like somebody going in and setting up a market stall in the middle of a church. You wouldn't do it. It'd be disrespectful to the house of God. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being accepting. Now, okay, you said no women. What about priests being celibate?
Yes.
Surely that's something that we could look at.
No.
But Jesus didn't bring in that rule. You know who brought in the rule of celibacy, don't you? The Catholic Church brought that in themselves to stop women inheriting assets from the Catholic Church. It was all about the money. It was nothing to do with God. It was nothing to do with Jesus. It was nothing to do with the fact that Mary was a virgin. It was nothing to do with any of that, Maureen. It was to do with the Catholic Church and their greed.
That's if you want to believe that now,
it's not about believing it. It's a fact.
Giving my opinion.
No, but Maureen.
But I'm talking about the Novus Ordo Church now.
Let's focus on one thing at a time. The celibacy for the moment.
About the other churches.
Forget about the other churches. I'm talking about the Catholic Church.
They're
the most popular in Ireland.
No, there's the Novus Ordo Church. The New Order Church. Novus Ordo means New Order.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the other, like SSPX, FSSP, Institution of Christ the King, who celebrate and stick to the Mass, as we call, of the ages. And there is none of that in these Masses. So it's the Novus Ordo we're talking about.
Okay, well, let's leave celibacy aside. What about single parents?
Single parents are welcome in the church.
Okay, but the attitude...
They're not saying that you're not welcome. Nobody is saying you're not welcome in the church.
I remember 7 years ago doing a topic on this show about a church. I'm not going to say where it was. It wasn't too far from Dublin. That was refusing to give confirmation or communion, I think it was, to a child of a single parent, and told the single parent she wasn't welcome in the church because she was a habitual sinner. Still happens. Still churches, some churches and some priests still have an attitude towards parents who are not married.
Yes, some do. But the thing is that people aren't welcome in the church. No.
I have to go quickly. I come back to the divorcees and the LGBTQ. That'll be explosive in a few minutes. Stay there, Maureen. Let me go to Paul as well. Paul, before I go to the break, because I'm going to keep Maureen there. Paul, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Paul?
How are we doing,
Ireland? Paul, Maureen says absolutely not. Rules is the rules. It's in the Bible. You just can't change things.
Isn't everything we're doing today is about change and about progress and moving forward? Does Maureen really believe that, you know, in the second coming of Christ, that he wouldn't be proud of some of the development we've made as a society, not just within the Catholic Church, but as an accepting society. What do you think about that, Maureen?
No, he wouldn't. It depends on what you're talking about.
I'm talking about, we'll say, the acceptance of the LGBTQ community, for example. What would Jesus say about that? Would he say, oh no, you should not accept these people for who they are. They're sinners and should be treated accordingly. Would he have them stoned? Would he have us stoned, rather?
He never said you shouldn't accept them.
Okay.
What he would say is, he would condemn the sin. This is what people are not understanding. If the sin is condemned, not the person. If you're in state of sin and you are going to Mass and you're receiving Holy Communion, that's sacrilegious. You cannot do it. But at the same time, you are still welcome to attend Mass, but you refrain from receiving Holy Communion.
Can they get married?
No. Not in the Catholic Church. No.
But then, well, then what we're doing is, what the church is doing is discriminating, isn't it? Well, isn't the church then discriminating against
the church
a percentage of society?
The church is not discriminating against them. They're discriminating. It's the sin. This is what people aren't getting.
What about two women? What sin have they committed?
It's a sin because it is intrinsically disordered.
Well, there's nowhere...
Male and female were created to be married and to procreate.
That doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. There is one line in the Bible that says man should not lie with mankind. But it says nothing about lesbians in the Bible, by the way. Just to throw that in there.
If men and women are on this earth to repopulate, and how come priests then can't get married? Why should...
Many of whom are gay, can I point out?
Because...
I'm just pointing it out. They estimate probably somewhere between 20-30% of priests are actually gay.
Yes, they were. Yes, probably are. Yeah. Because that was infiltration. You know that. The church was infiltrated.
What was infiltrated? Oh.
It was infiltrated.
No, I think it was more a case of young men who felt they were objectified in society because of their sexuality went into the Catholic Church. I suppose at some point, going back a long time ago, to hide. Their families would put them into care as a priest because that was the best place for them because they didn't have a wife.
Yes, but
yeah, a lot of priests were actually gay.
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
Communist.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, Maureen. You know,
yeah,
it's all right for in your eyes. You won't let a woman be a priest, but sure, it's okay for a gay man.
Yeah,
then.
The church was infiltrated, and Bella Dodd admitted it.
It was infiltrated.
It was infiltrated. The Communist Party. She was a diehard communist, and this is back in the
30s. We're talking about people's sexual attraction here, not their political persuasions.
They infiltrated the church.
What? Just because somebody is gay, they infiltrated.
I don't know.
They didn't choose to be. They didn't join it. Sorry, Paul. What are you trying to say to Maureen there?
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
I don't think it was a planned attack.
Yes, it was.
Organized. Read her story. Read that.
Maureen, you're missing the point. When young men in Ireland, particularly in small rural villages, realised they were gay and their families didn't want anyone to know, they were encouraged to join the priesthood because that would be a good excuse for not having a wife. That wasn't planned.
No, that wasn't planned.
No, there was no infiltration there. They just joined the church because they wanted to do some good and they couldn't have a wife because they were gay.
But there was an actual infiltration, is what I'm trying to say.
But forget about your infiltration for the moment. I'm talking about one particular point. When you're saying the church will not accept gay men or lesbian women or whatever it happens to be, the fact is, the matter is, many priests are already gay. So surely to God, and I hate to use the pun, the second coming of Christ, as Paul has talked about, he would be very proud of the fact that, you know, we've moved on as a society and we're more accepting of people. Surely that would be the case.
No, he wouldn't. He would not be more proud of it. He'd actually be disgusted.
He'd be horrified, Paul.
Horrified.
Horrified, Paul.
Yes, horrified.
Horrified. Sorry, Paul.
Of acceptance.
Yeah, seems
horrified
so.
Horrified of acceptance. That just sounds...
Not horrified of acceptance. Acceptance of sin. Can you not understand? There's a difference in accepting somebody, but you don't accept the sin. Jesus sat with tax collectors. He sat with every sinner. He spoke with them. He treated them the same as anybody else, but he did not condone the sin. This is what people aren't
getting. Okay, just to be fair, Paul, I've got a minute here before I go into the break. To be fair, Paul, many Catholics would agree with Maureen, who are practicing Catholics, and they would say, that is the rules. If you want to have a church whereby you have LGBT women priests, set up your own religion.
That's totally fair. But I think they're only going to do themselves more damage, because if they don't develop and move with society, they're going to get left behind. Attendance is down. There's less and less interest in the church as an organisation, and there's less and less people taking part in it. That is going to continue unless they change.
All right, if you want to give us a call, the number is 087-188-0008. You heard what Maureen has to say. Maureen, stay with us if you want to, please. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to... Maureen, stay with me. Let me go to Jessica as well. Now. Jessica, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jessica?
Hi, Niall. I'm grand. How are you?
Now, you study theology, so you probably know a lot more about this than I do. But in relation to how a church can change its rules... In theology, I mean, is it fair to say that we interpret a holy book as time goes on in different ways?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the way we've interpreted the Bible has changed from the 1960s until now. But before that, when it was being kind of put together as a book, it was a completely different set of texts. A council of men sat down and looked at what we had and chopped bits out and changed bits. And, you know, the book that we revere as the Bible, if you are a Catholic, is not the book. It's not the original and, you know, the only Holy Scripture out there. So I don't know. I just think that the Catholic Church is at a crossroads, and it has been for a while, and it can continue to go along the way of, this is the way we've done it, this is the way we want to do it, and see a real decline in its members, or it can act like an organism and it can evolve and it can change and it can welcome people into the church. It's done it before. The Ecumenical Council in the 1960s, Vatican II, saw a complete overhaul of the Catholic Church, of liturgy, of scripture, and it changed the way things were done. And if they can do it in the 1960s, no offence to those around in the 1960s, I think we can do it now.
Yeah, okay, but according to Maureen, you know, she will never be accepting, say, yeah, I mean, she's no problem with LGBTQ people, per se, but she will not accept the sin that's being committed by them. And the same goes for, say, single parent, because they're not married with a child, or divorcees who got divorced, which the Catholic Church were against until the referendum in 1996. But let me go to first the celibacy, because I tried to explain it to Maureen, but you study theology, you might know more about it than I do. The celibacy, from what I believe, was a man-made rule, which was brought in not by God or by the Bible or by Jesus, was brought in by the Catholic Church to stop women getting inheritance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was all due to the financial impact of it. So money was thought to be best kept within the church. And if we can keep women away from money in historical times, even better. There's this argument as well that, you know, Jesus wasn't married and Jesus was the original, you know, priest of the church. So we should mirror all our priesthood on Jesus. But that's the nice way of putting it. It is unfortunately all down to keeping money out of the hands of women and in the hands of historical men.
Maureen, that's a fair point. Maureen, because if we didn't change as a society and evolve, leaving religion aside, you still wouldn't be allowed to vote, Maureen. 100 years ago, somebody fought for your right to vote as a woman. So you're telling me now that you don't want to see women priests, because that's not what Jesus said, or Jesus was the original priest.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, men were the ones who voted. Men ran society. A very misogynistic world we lived in to some degree. And they basically ruled the world, except with the exception of historical people like Joan of Arc, etc., etc. But in saying that, women fought for the right, the suffragettes, they fought for your right to have a vote and be equal to men. And now you want to take it back 100 years by saying, oh, no, I don't, we shouldn't have a right.
I don't want to take anything like that back 100 years.
What do you do? You said women shouldn't be allowed to be priests.
We're talking about the church. No, they shouldn't be allowed to be priests. They can never be priests, and I explained it already.
When you say
Christ was on earth, remember, Peter was married. Peter was married. He left his wife.
Yeah,
these
you're
12
right.
apostles followed Jesus Christ. They remained celibate. We hear very little about Peter's wife, except for one time when she was sick.
But you're going, with respect, you're going, and I don't
they dedicated themselves to following Christ. And
I don't want to be completely, I don't want to be completely disrespectful, but you're going a word for word for what it says in a book. You only see, there was many books written at the time. They just happened to be the ones that were put into the Bible. There was many different scriptures written at the time, the book of Numbers and many others, right? But you're going by what's written in that book. At no point in that book does it talk about, you know, Jesus having his dinner or Jesus, you know, having a chat with his ma when he was 18 years of age.
Wait a second, Niall, what Bible are you reading?
No, I'm just saying to you, for example, you know, there's a whole section of his life missing up to the age of whatever it is, 32 or 34. There's a whole section of his life missing. We know nothing about his education. We know nothing about his schooling, if he had any, because there would have been some level of schooling and education in those days. The Romans brought it in. So we know very little about Jesus at all, apart from what's written in the book. And you're going literally by what's written in the book. How do you know Jesus didn't have sex?
Well, wait a second now.
I'm only asking
you. Which Bible are people reading from?
I'm only telling you. How do you know Jesus didn't?
But which Bible? Remember, all Bibles are written differently.
Okay, but
and the King James Bible is missing seven books. The Protestant Bible is missing seven books.
Okay, I'm
talking the Catholic Bible.
I'm talking about the Catholic Bible.
The Catholic Bible.
Yeah, he was born and then he was 33.
Yes, he was born, went to Egypt, came back.
And then he was 33.
Was raised by St. Joseph.
We know that because they tell us that. We know nothing about what he did.
We don't know about that.
We don't know if he had heartbreak. There's so much about this man's life that we don't know. And I think that's the point that Niall's trying to make. We can't quote it word for word because it's not an all-encompassing viewpoint. It's a tiny snapshot in history. And don't get me wrong, I think the Bible is a beautifully written document in places. And it's a beautiful snapshot of what people understood about the world at the time. But it does not dictate the way the world actually is. I'm sorry.
Well, we don't, for example, we don't know what happened in between years of his life.
No.
Because, for number one, his time hadn't come as such. The first time we really hear about him is at the wedding of Cana.
Mm-hmm.
When he went with his mother.
So you'd accept, and I'm sorry, I'm a rush for time, I hate to rush people, but so you would accept there's a lot of things we don't know about Jesus.
Here, some there.
Okay,
yes, because his time hadn't come.
Whatever the reason is, you would accept that there's a lot of things we don't know. So the point that Jessica's making is, maybe he had a relationship at some point earlier in his life, that it might have been heartbreak. He might have, you know, we don't know if he's celibate. We don't know that. So, but you're basing it on what you
and
believe.
And you're excluding people as a result of your belief and as a result of beliefs that are from 2,000 years ago. If we followed tooth and nail the Bible rule for rule, we wouldn't be wearing wool, we wouldn't be wearing mixed fibres, we wouldn't be eating shellfish. There's a lot of things we're doing. Like, you're kind of a la carte-ing it here. You're picking and choosing what parts of it that you want to follow. And, you know, if that's the way the Catholic Church is going to continue,
I'm picking
telling
and choosing
you
what I want to follow.
Well, then why aren't you sentenced to death for eating shellfish?
The church.
No, she's saying if you want to follow the rules of the King James Bible, which is what you're talking about, why aren't you sentenced to death for eating shellfish?
I don't follow the King James Bible. It's a Protestant Bible.
Or the Catholic Bible.
Or the Catholic Bible.
The Old Testament has rules that we would balk at if we saw it in current times, like stoning adulterers to death. It's completely inappropriate.
I'm very well aware of the Old Testament.
So are you taking in
when Christ came, when Christ was born, he was born for one reason only.
To revolutionise the world. You're right. And as a revolutionary,
and
I think
we
should be revolutionaries as well.
We have two Testaments, Old and New.
Yes.
Well, we know, with respect, Maureen, we know all that stuff. But the point is, which one do you read?
Live by the New Testament, but I have read both Old and New.
Okay, just finally, before I go to the break, Jessica, do you believe it would be damaging to the Catholic Church if they accepted divorcees, single parents, members of LGBTQ, women as priests, got rid of the celibacy rule? Do you think it would be damaging to the Catholic Church?
The Catholic Church does not serve the Catholic Church, or shouldn't. It should serve the people, and by accepting more people in, it's doing a better job. So, no, I don't think it's damaging at all.
Well, the people are the Church, aren't they? That's what they always
try
to say. But she said in a text is, why would the church, which thinks in centuries, bend and bow to fickle fads and fashions of politicised philosophies? And he also goes on to say, with all due respect, would you chair such a conversation on Islam? It is the fastest growing religion in the country. We have chaired many debates, more so probably at night, in relation to Islam. And we've talked about the burqa. We've talked about loads of different things in relation to Islam and interpretations of the Quran. So we have talked about it. But 85% of the population of this country claim to be Catholic. So it is obviously the more popular discussion to have. Let me go to Stephen. Stephen, you're an Ireland's classic kid. How do you do, Stephen?
I do, Niall. How are things?
Good. Now, Stephen, do you believe the church needs to modernise? Mary McAleese believes so.
Well, it has to modernise, because by the time all the old people are dead, the young people don't want to come in the front doors of it.
No, that seems to be the case, all right, yeah.
With no disrespect to Maureen, she's the only one sitting in her front seat.
Well, the argument is that that is the belief. It's based on a book that's 2,000 years old. So realistically, how can you change it?
Well, the real Bible is 5,000 years old. The Catholic Church only rewrote the Bible, just like that other lady said. She's very intelligent, may I say. Yeah, they only rewrote it to suit themselves.
Well. Look, yeah. Look, I think a lot of people know at this stage the story of a man with 12 apostles born on the Christmas day. Blah blah blah. That story was written in pagan times. It was basically a stolen story.
Well, I'm divorced now, right?
Yeah.
My marriage didn't last that long, right? Okay, it didn't last 3 years, but anyway, it didn't last. Not on my side. But look, I'm very happy after the last 12 years. But the thing is, I'm getting penalised. Now, I'd like to get married again in the church. I don't know why I'd like to get married again in the church. It's just maybe it was in me from day one.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to get married, and it's not my fault.
Well, they don't recognise your divorce, unless you get an annulment, I believe.
Yes, it's no annulment. No, that didn't happen. But why would they prosecute or persecute somebody else that when it wasn't actually in their hands of their fault, like?
Yeah, well, it's kind of irrelevant whose fault it was. If a marriage breaks up and two people fall out of love and that's the way it happens, you know, well, you know, they should probably just accept it, I suppose. There's nothing really you can do about it. There was a time where they kind of forced people to stay together, didn't they?
Yes. They tried to force people and then they had mediators and all this. Like, at the time I was doing my pre-marriage course.
Mm.
Right? And I was sitting there looking at this priest with a pair of sandals on him as if he was about to start levitating. and the thing is, the amount of beads that came out of his mouth was unbelievable at this pre-marriage course. And you actually have to pay for that course. And then they won't allow you to get married until that's paid for.
Of course, yeah. The same nowadays with divorce. They brought in new rules there 2 years ago where you must have mediation by law to make sure you want to get divorced.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the Sisters of Garabandal?
No.
No, well, there we go. Hey, like, I think Maureen should actually have a look at that. There is real footage and live documentation and photographs of the Sisters of Garabandal. It's a village in Spain that the Virgin Mary was meant to have appeared. And these girls, there's actually video footage on YouTube. Look it up. Now, these women that was actually the little girls at the time, they're in their 60s, come 70s now, you know, and they're still, like, some of them are still alive. And basically, the Virgin Mary gave three messages to the world for us to carry out these, to look after.
Is this the Sisters of Fatima? Sorry.
No, Sisters of Garabandal.
Oh, they must have appeared to another set of sisters, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, one of the messages was from the Virgin Mary, apparently from the Virgin Mary, was for tell the priests and cardinals of this world to save souls.
Mm.
And that was because young people committing suicide because they were touched by priests.
Right? It is a shocking part of our history that will take us a long time to get over, that we revered these men and this organisation in such high regard that we didn't question anything they did. And it's a shocking part of our history, which thankfully we've moved on from. And I would like to think that certainly that has changed to some degree. But to a degree,
it is changed. But still, it's not that it's not been done.
I don't think priests are looked up to as the figure of authority that they certainly used to be.
That's why the young people have gone away from the church, because the young people are not silly and brainwashed anymore like they did, like the war 40 years ago.
But you could argue, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole kind of philosophical debate, they may not be brainwashed by the Catholic Church, but they're brainwashed by other things.
Correct, yeah, they are. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Which are essentially just religions as well. I mean, social media, all those kind of things, Instagrammers. I mean, these are all essentially cults and followings, you know what I mean? And they are brainwashed by other influences.
They are brainwashed, yeah, but like the thing is, when we were kids, like when I was, I'm just turned 50 now, but when we were kids, like we were like Jesus, like we went to mass and all that there, but like we were believed that we were going to be prosecuted if we done anything wrong, or we were going to
I remember it well, yeah.
Like we were told as if, like, I mean, even if you went to the toilet in the wrong place, you were
it was a sin, yeah.
It's a bloody sin, like. But for the new generation of Catholic people, if the church doesn't change, nobody will. Basically, like you said, the word organisation, right? I know a young fella that I worked with years ago, and he went to be a police. They're from Italy, by the way, and he works and lives in Ireland now, and he was actually going for the Vatican police force, right?
Yep.
When he was doing his training, he tripped up, right, and he hurt his back. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, he had to claim off the VAT or whatever who he claims off there.
Yeah.
And then he finished his training. Now, this is Fabio's own words. And when he, before his final days of getting it signed off that he was a Vatican police officer, because they're an independent city of their own, as we know, when they realised he actually claimed a few pound off them because he fell and injured his back, they struck him off, kicked him out, didn't even come to be a cop. Because he took money off the
Catholic
Church.
Because he took money off the Catholic Church, yeah. Well, you know, they're very protective over their wealth and always happy. Listen, I'm running out of time, Stephen. Thanks very much. I appreciate you coming on the air. You had lots to say, and we could have talked all day about it. Okay, now have a quick listen to some of the audio WhatsApp messages that are coming in as well.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Sorry, I can't come on, Niall. My father told me something years ago, a very good bit of advice. 'Tis better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open it and remove all doubt. That woman is just a disgrace to her sex, number one, and totally and utterly out of place the way she's talking there. She shouldn't even have come on the radio unless she had her facts straight. Right, so Niall, loving the show. I have to go. Bye.
Well, she did have her facts straight according to what she believes, I suppose.
No, you'll all laugh on the side. I think The Life of Brian is the most accurate story ever told of Jesus Christ. Even though it was a comedy, I think it's more accurate than what we've been told in the Bible and all them other things. I just think he was a misunderstood Jew. That's simple as that, and a good man, and yeah. Look at The Life of Brian, and that lady might learn a thing or two.
I doubt very much a Catholic or Christian will watch The Life of Brian, but by the way, it is a hilarious movie. One of the best movies ever, actually.
Niall, what is she on about? Jesus picked 12 men. How does she know Mary Magdalene wasn't there? Was she gawking inside the window? No women allowed? Tell her to get off her high horse.
Well, wasn't the suggestion, of course, that Leonardo da Vinci painted that picture with Mary Magdalene in the picture? Wasn't that the suggestion at the time? Anyway.
Hi, Niall. No disrespect to that lady there, but if the Catholic Church want people back in the church, going backwards to a Latin mass will definitely not get me back inside the doors. I consider myself a Catholic. I don't feel like I will ever need to go to a church to honour my beliefs. And people like her would be exactly the reason why I would be completely and utterly against attending a mass. And no offence to her, but she's so backwards in her thinking. It's beyond comprehension for me as a young woman in my mid-30s. I just couldn't sit around with people like that. I just couldn't.
See, when you say she's backward in her thinking, she's not. She's following an ethos, and that ethos is 2,000 years old. So the ethos in itself, well, according to the 26 dioceses and the thousands of people that were asked, the ethos itself is backwards and not keeping up with the times. Anyway.
Niall, hey, Niall, that's a difficult question because of what went on years ago. So much went on, and so much went on that we don't know of either. I don't know whether bring people, maybe the new generation might bring them back, might bring them actually in, introduce them to it. But the old generation, I don't think so. I wouldn't be going back anyway over years ago. Cheers, pal.
Yeah, somebody else wants to know, Niall, why did you keep Maureen on the air for as long as you did? Well, the reason is because if I had it on that topic on the show 20 years ago, I would have filled the whole hour with people like Maureen who had the same feelings and beliefs as Maureen and held the same beliefs as Maureen. But times have changed, and very few people will come on like Maureen and stand up for their own convictions. So just to keep a level of balance to the debate, we kept Maureen on for a bit longer. I'll just play one more little bit of audio for you.
Niall, hey, Niall, that's a
Sorry, that's the wrong one. Is it the top one, Aisling? Yeah.
Just a comment on that lady that's on the on air at the moment. I don't understand where her Christianity is coming in. If she can feel that nobody with not ticking the right boxes regarding the Catholic Church can't go in and have their child made confirmation or baptized just because you're single, or obviously gay is a very controversial subject, but I don't understand. To me, being a Catholic or being a Church of Ireland person or being anyone boils down to being a Christian, a good Christian. And to me, that lady doesn't sound like a very good Christian.
Absolutely. And I think as well, even if you don't believe in God or believe in Jesus, you can still have Christian values and morals. You can still be I always believe you, even if you don't believe in God and Jesus, you can still be a good Christian, a Christian person by definition.
Real people, real opinions, Real Talk Radio, the multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic.